wonderful today. Oh, any kisses going on here? Yeah, well, isn't it good that you can actually have a kiss in church if you really want to? Well, with your spouse. So good. Yeah, well, there could be a new relationship blossoming, couldn't there? Yeah, fantastic. Who feels... No, we better not go there, have we? Anyway, so... good to be in church. No greater place, right? No greater place. Coming to the courts of the Lord and my life is so much better for doing it. And sometimes it's just consistency. Sometimes it's just turning up. Week in, week out. If nothing else, you're setting a role model for others around you and to build other people's faith. Because we're not here just for ourselves and what we can get out of church, but what we can do for others. God wants you to be a part of building the church. So regardless of your personality, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of whether you have a mum and dad or you've been brought up by foster kid parents, whatever the situation is, God loves you so much that you have a place here, regardless of whoever you are, whatever social standing, and you're going to have your best life right here at C3 Fremantle. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand this morning. And so on that note, I'd like to preach an awesome message to you this morning. And so music team, thank you very much. Let's give them a hand. Great job. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 11 and a note on Acts chapter 13. I'm going to read from 19 to actually. I might save my who's got a good reading voice? Greg Moore, are you feeling a bit fluey? No, you got a good Susan Dyer. Put her hand up straight away. Come on, Susan. Come and join me. Now, you can use my Bible because you haven't brought your own. It's down there though. I can see it. Everyone, this is Susan Dyer. Say hello.
Hello.
All right, there's a mic. Fantastic. All right, so Acts 11, verse 19, right through to the end of the chapter. Please.
It's a small print Bible.
Can you read it or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word of God to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was on them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged. He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul.
And chapter 13, 1 to 3. Just three more verses. Chapter 13, 1 to 3.
Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away.
Awesome reading. Well done, Susan. Let's give Susan a hand. Susan, you're running a great connect group, aren't you? You're running a connect group?
Yes.
You are. Look at the people for me. And who's in your connect group? Give us some of the people.
I'm so blessed because my connect group consists of beautiful Aboriginal people. It's held at the home of Ruth and Jeff.
Yeah, the Mills. Yeah.
The Mills. But, of course, you can come to my connect group whatever nationality you are.
How awesome is that, hey?
It's wonderful. It's a great privilege and a great blessing.
Lord, we thank you for Susan, and we pray a special blessing on her today. And, Lord, we thank you that nothing is too hard for Susan. And we pray that that kind of spirit would go through our church in Jesus' name. For your glory, amen. God bless you, Susan. Thank you so much. You can take the mic back to... good on you, Blammer. Awesome. Let's give Blammer a hand as well. So I want to talk to you, you've seen it on the screen already, about the gospel church. We are doing exegetical preaching. And so I've never been done so much hard work in preaching in all my life. And Andrea knows the feeling, because you're actually not just topically looking at a subject and bringing stuff in from all over. You're actually trying to do justice to the text itself. And so we're becoming all sort of Presbyterian for this year. And, well, not really, but you never get that with me. But anyhow. But isn't it good to read the scripture? Who knows that the word of God helps you? And every little part has its place. And so that's why we do SOAP every month as well, Scripture Observation, Application and Prayer, and we get different people to do that. And that's why we have various people doing lots of different things on stage, because we want to help develop everyone in the giftings. And so it's good to be here with you. And I want to show you today from this passage of Scripture that Susan read so well. One more round for Susan. It was so good. I want to show you, and I'm just going to moderate my voice hopefully today, that I want to show you today this passage of Scripture is one of utmost importance for your development and the development of the church. This is going to help your development. Turn to your neighbour and say, "This is for you." See, you and I are on this earth. We're not on this earth for any other reason, once we know Christ, than to build ourselves and others up in the faith. No other reason. Once we know Christ, the main reason we live on this earth, yes, we've got to go to work, yes, we've got to do the dishes. In my case, put them in the dishwasher. Whatever. Yeah, I do a good job of that. Ben and Avina were over the other night. Oh, anyway, let's not get sidetracked. Yeah. We are here on this earth because we want to grow in Christ and help others grow in Christ and bring others to Christ. It's the gospel church. And this passage straight away doesn't come out like that, but I want to show you some things from it. So to win others to Christ for one sole purpose, and it comes out in this passage, to add them to the Lord. Say it with me, to add them to the? To add them to the? Now, this is important because people can say, you know, you just want to help build the machine, C3. No, we're here to add people to
the Lord.
We're first and foremost here to add people to
the Lord.
You're very fast learners. Give yourselves a pat on the back. We have just read a passage of scripture about the church in Antioch, the most important church in early Christianity. And we have read in verse 19 to 21 about the importance of outreach to new groups of people. It is why we have a multi-site vision for our church for the future. We are one church in two locations. We are believing and that we are going to be one church in three locations by around 2021, somewhere around there. Now this is part of this is because, well, you just got to read the Bible. There's new people to reach. It is why we have Leap into Spring. This gospel church, this whole Acts book and this scripture we've read today, as you will find out as I unpack it a little more, it's all about multicultural church. It's all about all the different ethnicities. And so up until this point in time, the Christians had taken the message to those who already believed in the Bible, to Jews and Samaritans. And although the Jews and Samaritans had different varying beliefs on, you know, they didn't really like one another actually, but they did believe the Bible. And so in Acts 8, an Ethiopian comes to Christ. In Acts 10, a centurion comes to Christ. Did you enjoy Andrea's preaching last week on that? Such a good message. And so these people were known as God-fearers. Gentiles who believe the Old Testament and Hebrew Scriptures. But God. Turn to your neighbor and say, but God. You know, but God was doing a new thing. It started with the vision Peter had in Acts 10 where he saw the sheep with all the different animals. All people, representing all people everywhere on the planet, were on equal footing with God. Is anyone pleased that they're on equal footing with God? Is anyone pleased that no one's going to judge you for what skin colour you are, what race you came from, what social status? You are on equal footing because God has made you. Full stop. Now, for every first time in Hebrew history, people who were clueless about Scripture, people who did not believe in the Bible were hearing the gospel message of Jesus and were becoming Christians. Now, I want to ask you a question. They didn't know much about the Bible. They didn't know much about Jesus at all. They hadn't been brought up with Jesus. They hadn't been brought up in that way. Does this sound anything like the current day we have today? Just Susan. Does this sound anything like the world today? Yes. See, if God could do it back in the early church, he can do it now too. Yes. And if there's going to be more persecution, and it certainly looks like the world's heating up right now, then surely the churches are going to be on the move as well. Yes. So let's fasten our seatbelts and go with the ride of Jesus, because at least we know where we're going to end up. Yes. See, in 1120... But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists. Everyone say Hellenist. Interesting word. Preaching the Lord Jesus. Hellenists were ancient pagans who did not believe in the Scriptures at all. Now, the result of this revival, which is why I asked Susan to read the three verses in chapter 13. Look at this in verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Barnabas was a Cyprian Jew. He was a bicultural Jew. Simeon, known as Niger, which means black, he was African. It's why they say I'm black when I go to Africa, because I'm black on the inside, they tell me. That's what the Africans say. And I've even got a name that is almost the same. Nigel, it's close, right? Okay. Lucius of Cyrene from North Africa, most likely Arabic. Mannion, an upper crust type person. Maybe a bit snobby, because he hung with Herod. And then there was Saul, a Jewish academic. And so, for the first time, we have a multicultural, multinational, multi-ethnic Christian church. In 1126, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The disciples, look around, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. This is really important because up until now they had been known by their own religion and for the most part determined by their race. Roman religion, Greek religion, but now for the first time in history we have a religion that is not based on race. And it's the first time, and I believe the Holy Spirit is doing this on purpose with Luke authoring this, it's the first time because by the power of the Holy Spirit, everyone is accepted, and that's why they're first called Christians in Antioch. How good is that? It brings in people from all spheres, and they're called Christians. And so we can also see from this passage that the early church was a praying church. Turn to your neighbour and say, never stop praying. See, it's a recurring theme in Acts. In 13, 2 and 3, let's just read that for a moment. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Maybe you need to. Okay. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me for Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. Having fasted and prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them away. They were prayerful and they were strategic. And it was through the prayer that they were strategic in sending people out. They got the idea while praying and fasting. They were sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a church that prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. What's one thing we must do if we're going to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus? We've got to pray. We've got to pray. We have to be a prayerful church. And after the people are converted, in verse 25 to 26, for the whole year, it says that they are built up in their faith and they are made into disciples of Jesus. A whole year. Barnabas is with them in Antioch. And he finds this so important that he actually brings Paul on board as well. And so, verse 29, the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief. So something else is going on here. They were making room for others. They helped others in need and they served others. So all these themes, the gospel into new areas, multicultural church, prayer and fasting, the power of the Holy Spirit, a generous spirit serving others and discipleship come over and over again in the book of Acts. So I want to talk to you now about the effective gospel church. So that was my kind of long introduction. And now I want to talk about the effective gospel church. Who'd like to be better at doing church life and being a better disciple of Jesus today? We should all be saying yeah. And so I want to give you a few key things from this particular passage. There are some things that made these people stick. Really, really stick in the book of Acts here. So let me just give you a example of this. I would say for myself, there was a number of people when I was a teenager that really helped me, and that was one of them was my youth pastor at the time that really helped fashion me into the man that I am today. My wife has obviously had a great deal of help with that over the last 30 years. But Pastor Richard McAllister, who was here a few weeks ago, actually, There is no doubt. But it wasn't just that he encouraged me, it was that he told me the truth and how I needed to develop and some of the attitudes that I needed to change. Who knows that a good friend is able to do both? And so I'm grateful for people in my life, like Andrea, over the last 30 years, who have told me the truth in love. As a pastor, I have pastors that I relate with, and we do this, we have a relational network here in WA, and we will help one another, not only just to encourage, but also at times say, hey, why don't you try this, why don't you do that? That area, maybe just adjust it a little bit in your life. And so I'm very grateful that I have a network of people that speak into my world. So I want us to look at this a little bit, because these three verses in Acts 11, verse 22 to 24 are really important, and I want to read them again. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he had come and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged. Everyone say encouraged. Encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. He encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. We'll look at that in a moment. For he was a good man. For he was a what? He's the only man in Acts that's called a good man. I don't know if that's really important or not, but he's the only man that's mentioned as a good man. He was a good man, and then it goes on. Luke's very clear with this. Full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. That word encourage in, I think it's the first verse there, verse 11. And sent out Barnabas, and he was glad, and encouraged them all. With purpose of heart. Encourage them all. That in the Greek is actually parakaleo. Everyone say para. Kaleo. Para. Kaleo. Beautiful. Oh, it's on the screen. You guys can cheat. Parakaleo. See, Barnabas' name means son of consolation or comfort, modernly referred to as encourager. However, the English language does not have a word. And so, the text implies much more than simple encouragement. In verse 23, he encouraged them. The Greek word used, as my first point is parakaleo. It's a strong word. It means to call out. It means to summon, to address, to speak firmly, to admonish, to beg if necessary. It means, who's ever watched some of those old style movies? I beseech you, brethren. I beseech, you know, some of those kings and queens stories, and they're all dressed up, all their pomp and ceremony. I beseech you. It's a strong word. It means there's an urgency about it. This must change. And para? Well, there's paramedic. What does a paramedic do? Comes alongside to help you in your time of need. So it's like this strength and this coming alongside all in one. It's a mixture, if you like, of truth and love. And here's the thing. In verse 19 to 21, we have an evangelistic church. Who's glad that there is, we always see in the Bible that we are to be an evangelistic church, not inward focused, outward focused. And then in verse 25 to 26, we have a teaching church. But between the two, Barnabas shows up and does parakaleo ministry. It is an intense, personal exhortation of people. And in verse 23, we see that Barnabas went to encourage parakaleo, the people. He administered effectively both truth and love together to both sustain the people, but also to provide health and strength to the church structures. And the result was, guess what the result was? What's that last part of the scripture that I read out? And they were added to the Lord. There was explosive church growth. thrust forward by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is important. We cannot grow into the people we are meant to be except in this kind of soil. We have a responsibility in the Word of God and as disciples of Christ to surround ourselves with people who are not so cowardly to simply affirm us. And not so patient and so loving that the truth is watered down in our lives. We need to be surrounded by people who are characterized by truth and love, or we won't grow. Is that true? Is this meaty enough for you this morning? See, in your connect group, one of the most important things you can help one another with is parakaleo. Come alongside, not just to sympathize, but also to help another person out and perhaps correct them a little bit. It may mean having a coffee with another person outside of connect group so that you can help that person have their best life. And later on down the track, they'll be like, my goodness, I'm so glad we had that conversation. You know how different my world is now? Thank you for bringing that to my attention. It was a blind spot in my life, but now I'm set free and I'm moving on in Jesus. And so we never change unless we have someone like Barnabas, because Barnabas is often interpreted as this encouraging sort of guy. But then we know also that he did have a bit of a fight with Paul. So there's a bit of grit behind him. And so all Christ followers need to learn to have a soft heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, have a soft heart. Have a soft heart, Josie. You have got a soft heart. And have a thick skin. Say that too. Have a thick skin. Soft heart, thick skin. Susan, soft heart, thick skin. Dents, soft heart, thick skin. Everyone else that's single on their own this morning, I'm here for you. When Barnabas shows up, he bathes them for a whole year in truth and love. And people grow into disciples of Christ. They are not just in name only Christians. They are following their leaders and the Word of God. They are following their and the entire church grows. And when we really get what it is that Barnabas type people are, it's like lawn fertilizer. I had a very yellow lawn this end of this, what is it? Winter, yes. It was very, and I had too much clover, got rid of that without killing the lawn this time. Normally I do kill the lawn as well, but this time I didn't. The point is this, I put some lawn fertilizer on a few weeks ago, suddenly it's green and I need to mow it. Before that, it was just dormant. It was just, you see, when we are Barnabas type people to one another, it's like boom. It's like suddenly there's new shoots appearing because we are helping one another to have not only our best life, but to grow up in Christ. So it's not all mamby-pamby, lovey-lovey. It's actually, you know what? I'm going to help you with that part of your life and we're going to see one another grow up. See, what does parakaleo look like? That's a good question. I love steak. There's nothing better for me. In fact, I do it quite regularly on my birthday or anniversary or some important amount, and I will have a really thick steak. Don't ask me about the next day or two, but that night, it's the best steak. And medium, it's got to be medium rare. And if I'm going to have a good steak, I'm actually a man that loves vegetables. And so I'll have, if I'm really going to go all out, I'm going to have cauliflower cheese. Anyone like cauliflower cheese out there? You got to have, who's feeling hungry now? You got to have your cauliflower cheese. All right. And Andrea is a broccoli fan. So I've become a broccoli fan. I never used to eat it, but now it's one of my favorites. And so, you know, and then you've got to have carrots and, you know, all the vegetables. And if you're really going to go all out, you've got to have either roast potatoes or chips or something to go with the steak, right? Not that you need it, but you have it. And so you've got all this on your plate and my plate's loaded, right? And then you've got to, for me, I'm not much of a salt person, so I'll put pepper all over it. Because I like to season it with pepper. And that's what parakaleo is like. It's not just like one person all on its own, like our brilliant Barry. Stand up for a moment. And, you know, Barry's just here on his own, and he's just stand up there for a minute. And you're all on your own, and you're just all lonesome. And, you know, because it's like he's just the potato. But then Avena comes up. And Venus stands next to Barry, and now we have a little bit of cauliflower cheese. All right, and then come on, and then Blammer goes and joins, and what haven't I said? He's a steak. Yeah, he's a steak man. You got to have the steak, right? Because he's the beefy man. Yeah. Show us those. All right. And then who else? Ben, come on, join. Go and join in the festivities, because, you know, you can't have a party on your own. This is like, if you're going to have a good steak dinner, you've got to have it all together. You've got to get in a circle, because it's like you all mix in. And what else do we have? Maybe we have some gravy. Who'd like to be the gravy? Come on, Wes, you sit on the front row, you get involved in this. And so you put the gravy on, but then you gotta have what? You gotta have the pumpkin. Roast pumpkin. Let's come on. Who's the roast pumpkin? And the roast pumpkin gets in there. And then you've got the pepper to finish it all off. Come on, Jacques. Come on, be the pepper for us. And you, now listen, you've got to sprinkle yourself over these guys. All right? So you know, like pop, 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 sprinkle yourself. That's it. There it is. And you got the pepper all over it. And now you've got parakaleo ministry, each one helping one another, because who knows that a good meal is not just a steak. Thanks, guys. Awesome. Awesome. See, who felt? See, suddenly everyone wanted to get involved, because we don't do life alone. We're Barnabas people. And we're helping one another. And parakaleo is the Holy Spirit part that actually isn't just there to encourage, but we're actually giving some good thump in the back if we're a bloke. We say, come on, you can do better than that. Yes? All right. See, and it's not like this. Excuse me, it's not like you're a private investigator prying into people's lives. Okay? We don't want to be that kind of person in church. Right? And you start delving into people. Forget that. We have our family life, and we're happy that your family's happy and we don't pry. We have private lives. It's not. We recognise some boundaries, right? And you're not a florist. Like, oh, that's so gorgeous, darling. That's so wonderful. Oh, you look so lovely today. Now, it's important to have those people in our life, but who knows, it doesn't go very far in the end. We can't just have a bless me club. You're not a drill sergeant. This is probably more my style. Just do it because I said so. And you're not a judge. You did what? An encourager, a parakaleo, summarizes what a person just said to you. Who knows, that's a really good thing to ask your wife or husband. Can I just summarise that, what you just said to me, so that I actually get it right? Were you saying this, darling? Is that what you meant? And about an hour later, you might get the message. Are you saying this is what? Oh, I'm just getting my feel. No, let's not. Okay. All right. Okay. So, an encourager summarizes what a person just said to you so that you know you have heard them correctly, and then you push back. An encourager recognizes their own struggles. An encourager what? I'm the first to admit that, you know, we're the first to admit here in C3 that we've all got faults. Amen. And so there's an authenticity about us. But it's never all about us. It's about others as well. And so in our weakness, even though we're not 100% together, we still help one another, right? We're still able to help one another. Everyone can do this. So you can only be a true Barnabas in person, face to face. You cannot send a text message with a smiley face and do parakaleo. You can't be on Facebook doing parakaleo. Because you can't, you don't know the body language of a person. And, you know, I saw when Susan was up, she was like, I'm really into this. I could tell the body language was there. I could tell that she was enthused. I could tell that she was like, I'm doing this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, but then when you have a meeting with some other people, maybe it's a bit closed. You need to read people because you're having face-to-faces. You cannot reflect on something in your life effectively through the internet. You need somebody to help you. You need somebody to help you step out and to grow. Didn't Josh do a great job this morning? First time emceeing, you know? But if it wasn't for us encouraging him, he wouldn't be up here, would you, Josh? You were here because we encouraged you and said, you can do this. Yeah, you know, and it's only going to get better because we're encouraging him in who he is. And so let me explain this another way. I might as well just say who it is because he gave me permission anyway. Pastor John Finkelde, some of you know him, right? He asked me a number of months ago to help him. I was his personal trainer. Now, he asked me, because I've been to the gym a long time, and please don't think I have a really good body, because I know, you know, it lacks in certain areas these days, all right? But that's not the point. And I think I want to say this because we all have, it's not that we've got everything completely right, it's that we can help someone else. And he said, Nigel, I want to come to your gym. And I said, are you serious? Because this is something that Pastor John has never done. I said, if you're serious about this, he says, look, because of my travel, and I'm finding that I need some workout tips. And when I'm away, I can do them as well. I says, okay, so you're asking that you really need a bit of help here. And so I want at least a 3-month commitment. That's what I said to him. All right, so I'm his friend. I love him, but I want a commitment out of him too. If I'm gonna get to the gym at 6 a.m. in the morning, because that's the time we agreed on, then I need you to be committed and there at 6 o'clock. You know, every time I went to the gym, he was already on the treadmill because he knew that I was going to turn up, and he knew that the next 40-45 minutes was going to be the best thing for him. It was going to be hard work, yeah. So I taught him all these exercises in leg work and back work and these other things. And then we started working on some areas of that he could do when he was away traveling. And this is what he replied in a text message to me the other day on WhatsApp. Because, you know, I didn't ask him to put on a Michelle Bridges DVD and go do it yourself. We did parakaleo. He told me these things about the encouragement he gained from me face to face. An experienced person gets you there quicker. Encouragement from an experienced person makes a big difference. Your confidence grows more rapidly when an experienced person trains you. Fear diminishes and confidence grows. And lastly, he said, training with friends is so much fun. You see, Hebrews 3:13, pop that up there for me. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily. Exhort one another. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The word exhort is the same word used for Barnabas. In other words, you and I should have these kinds of people in our life and stay true to the gospel. And who knows that the gospel is always transforming and renewing us. And so people not so cowardly that they will not give you a critique, people not so unloving that they will not give you, that they'll just fire all guns blazing. It might be the truth, but it's killing you. People that are Barnabas, they come alongside, they're para, kaleo, firm but loving. Three, last point, who are you allowing to be your Barnabas? And really, it's probably multiple people. Who are you allowing to be your Barnabas? Verse 24, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. Who'd like to have that on their tombstone? Come on. I can't ask for much more than that, can you? And the reason Barnabas was so good at encouragement that brought about real change in another was that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with what? The Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that goes before culture. Come on. It's the Holy Spirit that goes before ethnicity. It's the Holy Spirit that goes before upbringing, education, social class. If you come, let me say this and we'll wrap it up. If you come from a traditional culture, there'd be a number of you here today looking at the cultures in this room. You come from a traditional culture where family matters most. You will get your self-esteem out of duty. And if you don't do your duty to your family and people around you, they will shame you. Big from Ben. It's a culture with a lot of truth and not as much love. Now, our Western culture. We do not get our self-esteem from duty, but from our desires. We follow our dream. We want to climb that mountain, forage new territories. You know, we want to be those kind of people. We're Western. We can do it. Everything's going to be all right. And so, we just want love, but there's not so much duty. There's not so much truth. And we don't want to hear it, actually. None of us are going to get this right without a lot of help from the Holy Spirit. And in John 13 to 15, Jesus is talking with the disciples and they're just not getting it. Well, tell us where you're going and we'll come with you. Well, you can't come with me. Well, Thomas pipes up and says, well, you haven't told us where you're going. If you just tell us, we'll come. And they haven't got it that for the last three and a half years that Jesus is actually going to be sacrificed. You want to come and get sacrificed with me is what he's really saying. But they're not getting it. Who knows that we don't get it sometimes? Who's glad then that we have the Holy Spirit who we can have as our helper? See, in John 14, he goes on to say, oh, because you guys just are, well, he doesn't say, well, he kind of does say, look, you don't seem to be getting it, guys. You just don't seem to be there. So I'm going to leave you the best helper for your life. John 14 talks about it. I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside. But he also adjusts. He sends our advocate, our legal counsel, our eternity in the court of law, the one who is right there with you, beseeching the Father on your behalf. Is anyone glad that we have the Holy Spirit that is for every one of us? And so he comes alongside helping you grow, and the Holy Spirit works to grow us through others in the church. So that we're not just pepper, we're not just steak, we're not just the cauliflower cheese. We are together made whole and made the best we can be, living our best life in Christ, the gospel church. John 2:1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Turn to your neighbour and say, so that you may not sin. Here you go though. Who knows that you're going to walk out of here and you're going to sin? Yeah? I am. I'm pretty sure of it. And so he goes on, if anyone sins, that's you, right? That's me. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. My goodness, Jesus first did it all for us. He's beside you. He vouched for you. He went to the judgment seat. He took on all the sin of the world. He took on your pain. He took on your shame. We're forgiven. We're set free. Come on. And he took your place. The wages of sin is death, but now we're alive because Jesus didn't stay dead, because God the Father had a plan to resurrect him. And he's a resurrected Christ. And so we know that we have a bright future. I want to talk about that next week. You are accepted, you're righteous. First, Jesus speaks to you for God. Second, the Holy Spirit speaks for you, for you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you for you. Why are you upset with what he has done? Why are you upset about that? Why are you so distraught when in the scheme of things it's not such a big deal? Who's ever heard those kind of words from the Holy Spirit? So your pride's been a little bit wounded, has it? Thought you were going to get that job or maybe that role in church, it didn't quite work out. Better that you slip away that you stay in the way and the truth and slip away from God because of the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life and those people around you being parakaleo. And the number of was added to the Lord daily, all through Acts, added. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to be an adding machine. You see, and the reason is because Barnabas was in the middle of the gospel and the teaching, and he was there and he was encouraging, and that word encourage means to be, have truth and love, to have para kaleo. And we all need Barnabas in our lives. We all need trainers, personal trainers. And so you can be like Stephen, bold as a lion in the face of death, because you have parakaleo and you know the Holy Spirit and nothing is too hard for you. Some of you aren't sure about that. Let's stand to our feet, church. My God. See, this is not simply about adding numbers to the church. It's about adding to the Lord. Why don't we just raise our hands for a moment? It's about adding to the... And a great many people were added to the Lord. Verse 24. A great many people were added to the Lord. It's the Barnabas type of discipleship. It's para kaleo. And Father, right here, right now, I pray that we would be the ministers of para kaleo. That we would be Barnabas-type people that are encouraging with a bit of grit behind us. That, Lord, we would tweak the way we think because your Holy Spirit is working in each and every one of us, not just for ourselves, but to help others do ministry well too. And the people of God said, amen, amen. Father, seal this word, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you'd like some prayer, I'm going to leave the altar open. But let's sing to finish. Let's sing a victory-stirring song today.